Good morning to everyone. In our first session, we covered the topic reviewing our own life, bringing up the preciousness of the Buddha Dharma. And then in order to understand the Buddha Dharma, we have chosen to use the framework of the Lam Rim teaching. And last week we talked about the qualities of the compilers with emphasis on Atisha and Tsongkhapa. So today we will go on to our third session, Attitudes to Learn and Practice the Dharma. In the Chinese Buddhist tradition, there is a story that once a scholar went to visit a Chan master or a Zen master, Nan Ying, and asked him to define Chan or Zen. So the scholar was interested to know what Zen is or what Chan is. The master poured a cup of tea for the scholar, but he continued to pour even though the tea was overflowing. So the scholar was rather surprised. Maybe he thought the master had poor eyesight. And having seen this, he remarked, he told the master, "Master, the cup is full, as the tea was already overflowing." But the master, Nan Ying, explained, "You are just like this cup, full of concepts and ideas. And if you don't empty the cup that is in your mind first, then how can I begin to explain Chan to you?" So in other words, the master asked this scholar to empty his cup before he was prepared to give him the teaching. So this is a very beautiful story illustrating the point that even though we have realized that the Buddha Dharma is a very precious, we often make a mistake of trying to learn the Buddha Dharma from ourselves instead of from the Buddha through a teacher. So what do we mean by learning from ourselves? In Chinese, we describe it as a 学我 versus 学佛. Now, this refers to using our subjectivity to see things. Actually, many of us are very capable of doing this. We already have a preconceived idea about what the Buddha Dharma is about. And then when we listen to a teaching, we filter off what we don't like to hear. We amplify the part that we think, oh yes, you know, this is Buddha Dharma. So we come with a lot of preconception, even superstition. One good example is that there are many people in our society who have a good intention. They don't commit serious crimes or even unskillful things. And they would tell you, well, it's good enough to have a kind heart. So no need to be a vegetarian or no need to follow a religion. Good enough to have a kind heart. But what do you mean by heart? So what is a kind heart? So there are people who call themselves free thinkers. They are very proud, and their idea about free thinker is one who doesn't believe in any religion. I've met with many people like that, you know, they say that I'm a free thinker. So my response to them is that, oh, this is very good, you know, because this is what the Buddha teaches us, to be a free thinker. So what is a free thinker? A free thinker is one who is able to think freely, not one who doesn't believe in any religion. So if you think that a religious faith is a conditioning, and you go to the opposite end, you say that I don't accept any religion, you are caught in another type of conditioning. So how can you be a free thinker? So truly, the Buddha asks us to be a free thinker, to think freely. in order to do that, first of all, if you want to learn Buddhism, we have to empty the cup. We have to empty the cup in order not to fall into the trap of us trying to learn the Buddha Dharma, trying to learn the Buddha's teaching, using our own subjectivity, preconception, and so on. Learning from ourselves. If we can really do that, if we can really empty the cup, then in order for us to benefit most from the Buddha's teaching, we have to really learn from the Buddha. There is a quotation from the scripture, from the Buddhist scripture. It says this: we need faith to enter the Buddha Dharma, or to, in order to come into understanding, come into practice of the Buddha Dharma, we need faith. Now, normally we need to learn the Buddha teaching through a teacher. The Buddha is no longer with us. Of course, many people have the idea that, well, I can just read books about Buddhism, so why do I need a teacher? Or I can read the sutras directly from the Buddha, so no need. But we have gone through this before in our past session. So we need faith in the Buddha, we need faith in the teacher, because it is through a teacher that we can really learn the Buddha Dharma. Actually, what we say so far also applies to any secular learning. So if you want to learn something well, for example, you want to learn a computer, how to operate a computer, then it's necessary to have a good teacher. And maybe we have already got a wrong way of operating that. So we have to throw away that. We have to empty that cup. And then from a competent teacher, he can guide us. He or she can guide us to learn very well. So you probably have experience that you can read a book to learn how to operate a computer, but it is not as effective if you have a teacher who knows very well. So you can learn more effectively that way. But the Buddha's teaching is special in that, although we need faith first, faith alone is not enough. So this is very different from the Judeo-Christian tradition, where the emphasis is on faith. If you have faith, you are saved. In the Buddhist teaching, without faith, we cannot get into Buddhism. But after that, we need to develop wisdom in order to get out of samsara, the cycle of birth and rebirth in the six realms. Please bear this in mind. In Buddhism, we emphasize on two things: faith at the beginning, wisdom at the end. Wisdom will deliver you from samsara. So in order for us to learn from the Buddha through a good teacher or through good teachers, we need to be aware of abandoning three types of faults. Now this is on the negative side. And then on the positive side, developing some six types of positive attitudes or qualities that we will come later. So the first three answers, what we have to avoid when we want to learn the Buddha's teaching. In the Lamrim, it's an analogy of a vessel. So a vessel is used to contain, it's a container. So if you want to receive food, you want to receive drinks, you pour it into a vessel. So all of us are like a vessel. We want to receive the Buddha's teaching. But we must not be the following three types of vessel. The first is an upturned vessel. So if this is a cup and we turn it upside down, there is no way it is going to be able to receive, in this case, drink. So if we are a vessel like that, there is no possibility we can receive the teaching. So what do we mean by an upturned vessel? I think many of us maybe have this fault before. So maybe we have a bad night, we did not sleep well, and then when we come to the class, we are not able to pay attention. Yeah? And then in the middle of the class, we fall asleep. Or maybe our eyes are wide open, but our minds are wandering 10,000 miles away, thinking of something else. And the mind is not here. The ear, body is here, but what the teacher says, nothing goes in, because our mind has wandered away. So this is an analogy of an upturned vessel. Then secondly, a filthy vessel. So a filthy vessel will contaminate the teaching. Okay, now this cup is now turned the right side up. Of course, it can receive, you know, whatever you put in. But if it is dirty, if it is a filthy, then what happened? Whatever you put in will be contaminated. So what are the contaminations? There are two aspects. One is very much similar to the Chan story that we related earlier. That is, if we study and practice the Dharma on the basis of preconceptions, then whatever the teacher says, you don't receive it faithfully. You add your own preconceptions, your own biasness. And important things that the teacher says that don't agree with you, you filter off. Don't we do that? We are actually all quite capable of doing that. As an example, when we have been to airports, and then we are catching a flight, and we hear announcement, constant announcement at the airport. Many announcements on arrival of flights, departure of flights, but we only hear our own flight. You know, if it is announced that our flight is ready for boarding, then we hear that very well. Whereas the others, we just filter out very easily. Or sometimes if you want to find someone, you go to the counter, the airport information counter, and they can page for someone. You know? So there's constantly paging for people, but if our name is being paged, then we hear it. You know? Otherwise, we filter it off. So like that, we are quite capable of doing that. And this is the most difficult thing to overcome. Many people here say that they are very new to the Buddha Dharma, but sometimes this is an advantage, because if you are new, you don't have so many preconceptions. If you are new, you don't need to empty the cup. But sometimes the problem is you bring secular concepts, you know, that filter off a lot of the Buddha's teaching. That is the only thing. But sometimes there is a problem when we come across Buddhism in a particular tradition. When a teacher of another tradition give the teaching, we find it very, very difficult to accept, because we already have a preconception of what the Buddha's teaching is about from the tradition that we have been following. The second aspect of this analogy about a filthy vessel refers to wrong motive to study. But let me go back to the first one. There is a saying that sometimes it's not what the teacher says. Sometimes it's what the student hears. So if you have a defiled mind, then the pure teaching becomes a defiled teaching. This is because of your own contamination of the teaching. Just like, you know, the cup is not empty, you know, so whatever you add on is received but contaminated with whatever was already there. So secondly, it refers to the wrong motive to study. And here, if we are looking at, okay, some people saying that, okay, I like Buddhism because it has a good framework to help me, at least on the ethical side, to be good, that by following the Buddha's teaching, I will not fall into lower realms. This we will cover when we come to the different stages. Now that, of course, is a starting point, but from the highest level, from the highest motivation, this is considered as a wrong motive. So our motive to study the Buddha's teaching is to get out of samsara, is to get out of this cycle of birth and rebirth, and not go after better rebirth. Of course, all of us try to avoid sufferings, and we want happiness. So for some people, their understanding of suffering, very gross sufferings in the three lower realms. So if you can be born in the heavenly realm or human realm, that already is very good. We will come to this, that ultimately we have to get out of even the higher realms, of the six realms, in order to end the suffering. If we study Buddhism with this motive, then this is a more positive motive. But ultimately, when we look at this motive from the point of our ability, all of us have the ability to become a Buddha. And with that, we are able to help all sentient beings. So if we don't learn Buddhism with the motive to ultimately become a Buddha, any motive lower than that is considered a not so good motive or even a wrong motive. So we have to have this motive. Now this we call the bodhicitta. Then there is a third vessel that we should try to avoid to be like, and this is a leaky vessel. Okay, this is right side up, very clean, but if it has a crack, what happens? All the drinks will leak out. So a leaky vessel cannot retain the teachings. So this is the reason why in the Buddhist tradition, why also in this particular class, we do it with the teaching, and then we say we have a discussion. Because when we have a discussion, we have to start thinking, we have to participate, you know. When we listen, sometimes the mind is very lazy. We don't have to do active reflection and thinking. And more importantly, we say that after the lesson this week, we go back before the next lesson, you know, we in this 1 week, we contemplate of what have been covered, what have been taught. And that even is not important. We must put the teachings into practice. That is the reason when we have the discussions, the emphasis is on relating it to our daily lives. Because Buddhism is about putting the Buddha's teaching, putting the practice into our daily lives. So in the Buddhist tradition, we emphasize on not only hearing, but contemplation and practice. And these three are called the three wisdoms. In Penang, we have one temple called the Triple Wisdom Hall. So the three wisdom refers to the wisdom of hearing, of contemplation, and actual practice. So if we can do that, then whatever we learn, we will be able to retain. Otherwise, if we just go attend a lecture, we might be very motivated, but very soon we forget. 3 days later, very little is left. 3 months later, you've forgotten completely what has been covered. So now we move on to cultivating the positive, cultivating the six helpful attitudes. With this, we will answer what we have to cultivate or develop. The first is that we should contemplate that we are all spiritually ill. We are sick, so we are like a patient. And some of you might protest, how can you say that, you know, I'm I'm well, how can you say that I'm sick? Well, the analogy is these few weeks, there's a flu going around, and lots of people are getting a flu and passing on to each other. A lot of people in this temple, not in Tanxiang, but everywhere catching the flu. So we have Li Yi Si, we have a physician here. So when catch a flu, you are sick, you have to be willing to go and see a physician or a doctor to cure that sickness. But if you insist you are okay, then your sickness will not go away. So we are spiritually ill. We are defiled by the three poisons of greed or lust, and anger or hatred, delusion or ignorance. Sometimes we add others like pride and doubt and also wrong views. But maybe it's sufficient to just use the three poisons. Actually, we're going to cover the Four Noble Truths later on. But the Four Noble Truths is the Indian way. In the Indian medicine, they talk about a sickness, then the cause of that sickness, then how to tackle the cause. So the way to get out of that sickness, and then finally the state of being cured, being healthy. So this is the formulation of the Four Noble Truths. Suffering, the cause of suffering, the path, this is the fourth truth, and the cessation of suffering. So it is very important for us to realize, and the deeper we realize that we are spiritually ill, the greater will be the motivation to want to learn and to practice the Buddha's teaching. And also, if our understanding of this spiritual illness or our definition is very superficial, then our practice will be very superficial. So this is very important. So in the Lamrim, when we talk about attitudes, so these are the first of the six attitudes. And then secondly, now that we acknowledge that we are sick, we then look to our teacher or spiritual guide or guru as the physician who is able to help us. So this is the second contemplation. So we are sick, and then we must have faith and trust in that this teacher will be able to help us do a diagnosis and tell us, for example, we are full of Theravada commentary, the Visuddhimagga by Buddha Ghosha, he classified people into different categories. So he used the three poisons. So if you belong to a type where your greed is very strong, then the antidote is given to reduce that greed. So some of these antidotes are just for you to do meditation on the impurity of the bodies, so you won't be attached to the bodies. And also, one effective antidote to this is the practice of contemplation on impermanence. So sometimes if you go to the Theravada countries, they do this near a graveyard or near a place where a cremation ground. And I think in the Tibetan tradition, they use some bones, human bones, to remind you that, one day you will become like this. So now we are so attached to this physical body, the nourishment of this physical body. And we continue to make ourselves victim of this negative emotion of greed and lust. Okay, so like that, on the other hand, if you don't have so big a problem with the greed, maybe your anger is very bad, then we have to tackle that. So the antidote, maybe we develop loving kindness. In the Theravada tradition, metta bhavana, development of loving kindness. So like this, a teacher, like a physician, tells you, okay, what to practice. What practice is suitable for you? Just like a physician, having diagnosed your sickness, prescribe the medicine. So the teaching, the third contemplation is that the holy Dharma is the medicine. For holding a wrong view. Actually, the wrong views, we elaborate into different types of wrong view. As a general antidote, of course, you know, is to understand that these are the wrong views. For example, one wrong view is, we say that the Buddha's teaching is the middle way. And then the extreme way is holding the idea that this life is just ends when we die. And the other extreme is that it continues endlessly. With the idea of a permanent entity called Atma. So the Buddha says that these are the two extreme views, and the Buddha teaches the middle view. So then if specifically on that, then you have to, you know, bring yourself back to the Buddha's teaching of the middle way, for example. Okay, then we have to understand that the appropriate teachings as prescribed by the teacher can help us in our spiritual practice. Then it is important, in the case of analogy of having visited a doctor, having the medicine prescribed, we already have the medicine, then we go back home and then we put it in a cupboard or we put it in a refrigerator, then it is also useless. So when we go back, we must take the medicine. We must take the medicine. So many of you working in the clinic or in the senior citizen home, so the patients, you are helping them to make sure that they take the medicine and they take it at the doctor prescribed. Okay, you take this medicine 3 times a day, you know, after every meal. And so you have to follow that teacher's instruction, but some patients forget. Others say, well, maybe I can take all of them, you know, at one go instead of being so troublesome taking it 3 times, you know, that will not work also. So sometimes with practice, people have no patience. So if you have a good teacher, the teacher will advise you to go steadily. So here, when we say taking the medicine, we are saying that ultimately it is the practice that makes the difference. So that's why we say not faith alone. In other religion, yes, with faith you are saved, but in the Buddha's teaching, no. So you have to practice, then you develop wisdom. So without that, you cannot cure your spiritual illness. So these four contemplations are common in the teachings of different Buddhist traditions. And you find this teaching in Theravada Suttas, Mahayana Sutras also, and some of the great commentaries written by great teachers of different ages. But the fifth and the sixth attitudes or contemplations are very special with the Lam Rim teaching. In that, okay, now we talk about this, that your spiritual guide or your teacher is as holy as the Buddha. Or I think we word it more carefully, that your spiritual guide is as holy as being as the Buddha. I think this is generally true in Vajrayana tradition, the emphasis on the faith on the teacher is even greater in this particular tradition. But this is also true in the Chan or Zen tradition, that you have faith in your teacher. So you treat your teacher like a Buddha. And sometimes we may think this is far-fetched. But if you come to think about it, without a teacher, all the teachings that we are receiving, it is through the kindness of the teacher. Without a teacher, how can we know anything about the Buddha's teaching? So it is not so far-fetched to think of the teacher as being as the Buddha or like the Buddha. This particular aspect we are going to cover in more detail in our next session. That is the relationship between a teacher and students. Finally, there is a last contemplation, also special in the case of the Lam Rim, that the Dharma should be preserved for a long time. So while the first five contemplations, we contemplate on the kindness of the Buddha. Now, in the sixth contemplation, we are doing something to, if you like, you know, to develop gratitude, to repay the kindness of the Buddha. And if we were to continue to use the analogy, the medical analogy, if you are cured of a certain sickness, then you like that medicine to help other people later on who might get the same sickness. Instead of in many civilizations, even in the Chinese civilizations, there have been very good physicians, their teachings or their knowledge were not passed down. So it's lost. So like that, later on, the later generations of physicians are not able to help the patient with the same sickness. So since the Buddha teaching is so valuable, so precious, we develop this gratitude. The Buddha Dharma should be preserved for a long time as an attitude, as one of the six, in fact, the last attitude for us to develop. So today we have covered this firstly on the difference between learning from our subjectivity, we call that 学我, learning from oneself, versus learning from the Buddha. And then we explain about learning about the Buddha's teaching. We need faith initially, but wisdom ultimately. Then we talk about the three types of unworthy vessels, and also the six types of positive attitudes to develop. So maybe in summary, I just read from this book, From the Path to Enlightenment, just to again reinforce the teaching. By studying and practicing an oral tradition teaching that takes the essence of all the scriptures, we gain the benefit of studying and practicing all the teachings. This is referring to Lam Rim. However, in order to touch upon this essential doctrine in a manner that will cause these beneficial effects to ripen upon us, we must approach our study and practice correctly. This means that we must clear our mind of preconceptions and superstition, must make an attentive effort, and must attempt to maintain consistency and regularity in our practice. To study and practice Dharma on the basis of preconceptions is like pouring pure food into a contaminated pot. To be inattentive is like trying to pour food into an overturned pot or vessel. And to be irregular and inconsistent in study and practice is like pouring food into a pot with a hole in its base. If we wish to gain full benefits from our efforts, we must replace these three wrong attitudes with openness, clarity, and consistency in application. We should be constantly mindful of the six recognitions. This is on page 52. That we are spiritually ill. That the enlightened ones are doctors. That the Dharma is the medicine we need. That the practice of the Dharma is like following a medical treatment. And that Buddha Sakyamuni was a most kind and wise being, and that his lineage of teaching is most precious and valuable treasure for humanity. And so we develop a wish that it remains in our world. Okay, so this is a direct reading from chapter 2 of The Path to Enlightenment by His Holiness the Dalai Lama.